In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, is the second Sunday now of Great Lent already. And it is on this Sunday that we always read about the paralytic that was born of four. And it's really a rather remarkable story. Must have been an amazing scene. Our Lord is preaching in a house, and the house is completely full. There's no room at all, not even to get through the door or squeeze through a window. And yet there is a man who has four good friends, and he and they want him to be healed. And so they bring him, but there's no room. So instead of giving up, they climb onto the roof. Roofs in those days were a place where people would spend much of the evening, so it was not like, it was flat, and they were generally with some sort of thatch or something. So when they were able to break the roof, it was not a difficult thing. Obviously, modern day roofs, that would be very hard to do. They got up on the roof, they put a hole in the roof, and they let down the man in the midst of Jesus preaching. And he saw, and of course, first he said to the man that his sins were forgiven. And then after allowing time for the Pharisees to have their thoughts and rebuking them for their thoughts, he healed him of his paralysis. Really an amazing story. What does it mean for you and I? We know that paralysis, or you should know that paralysis, is not just physical, but it's also emotional and spiritual. In fact, we live in an age, I think, where there is more paralysis than there has ever been before. Because we live in an age where people are beset by anxiety, worries, cares, desires. That's a paralysis. That's not the way we were meant to live. We should be free when we live. Free to think and to do good, not to be beset by our sins and by the consequences of our sins. The Lord talks about that because the man was paralyzed, and yet the first thing the Lord did was say to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This is very important. Now, in our modern, supposedly enlightened age, people would say, well, the cause of cancer is this and this, and the cause of this particular disease is this pathogen or this allergy or something else. And that can be the case. But the fathers knew, our Lord knew. He taught them that sin can cause illness. That's just true. Now, the greatest illness that we suffer in this day and age is mental illness. And sin definitely causes that illness. I'm not talking about schizophrenia. I'm talking about the fact that none of us are quite right. Because we're not often able to do what exactly we want to do. We're not able to do good. We're not able to feel good. We're not able to be free of anxiety. This is mental illness, or better put, really, spiritual illness. Because I'm not talking psychiatrically. I'm not talking about something that a pill will fix. I'm talking about a spiritual problem that, if we're honest with ourselves, we all share in to some degree. Sin causes this, without a doubt. I've told you many times, and it's true, that if you are anxious about something, it's because of your sins. It's because of your lack of faith. It's always true that way. The only time you can be anxious and not sin is if a lion is chasing you. Then you're not sinning, because then you're just getting out of trouble. But when we are anxious about the cares of this life, it's because of our sins. It is possible for someone to have great, terrible things happen to them and still be quite happy and unaffected. I saw this when I worked in a hospital. This one woman, she was older than dirt. She was absolutely falling apart. Everything was going wrong with her body. And death was approaching. Not really from any specific disease, just from being very old and everything falling apart. She was in a lot of pain. And she had people visit her from her family constantly. She was called Meemaw by her granddaughter. It might have been her great-granddaughter who happened to work in the hospital. And she tried to get any moment she could to go see her Meemaw when she was working. And every generation was coming to see her. And she just was content and happy, even though she was in great pain. Because she'd lived a good life. Her family loved her. She was not dying alone. This is how it should be with us. But instead, the majority of us are beset by anxiety and by worries and by frustrations. We live in an age of incredible convenience, and yet we seem to be always inconvenienced. Our sins cause this. So look at yourself and see the things that you're not happy about. See the things that make you sad, make you angry, make you worried. This is paralysis. And so our sins do need to be forgiven us. But remember that we understand what true forgiveness is. It's not just the Lord saying, okay, your sins are forgiven. The other part of forgiveness is healing. And that's what is so illustrated in this healing of the paralytic. His sins had caused his paralysis. I don't know how that happens. Nobody does. You can't scientifically prove it. You can't point to exactly which sin or what combination of sins caused it. But the Lord said, "Thy sins be forgiven." And we understand this to mean that his sins had caused his paralysis. Now, does everybody have a physical infirmity because of their sins? The Lord taught about that too. He said, no, that's not true. Remember the man born blind? Actually born without eyes? And he was asked, who sinned? He or his parents? And the Lord said, it has nothing to do with that. But he was born blind so that the glory of God could be manifest. So we can't tell. Except you can tell in your own life. When you have problems with the way you think, it's always because of sin. Always. 100%. So, I don't want anybody to be upset with me. Certainly there are psychological, psychiatric problems that modern medicine has a few solutions for. Perhaps 1 out of 10 times when such medications are given. They're given because of a person having a truly organic problem that can be alleviated. But when you are anxious and cannot focus on prayer, and when you're angry, frustrated, don't blame that on any kind of mental illness that can be alleviated by medication. That's because of sin. And the Lord wants to help you with this. Just as he helped the paralytic. First he forgave his sins, and then as part of the forgiveness, not separate from it, but as part of it, he healed him. So this healing has to occur in each one of us. It's appropriate that we read about the paralytic during Great Lent, because we're paralytics. And we are about to celebrate the time when all the paralytics are made able to walk, and all those that cannot see able to see, and the deaf able to hear, and the dumb able to speak about the glory of God. because the resurrection makes that all possible. But in order to be healed, you really need to know that you got a problem. So that's why this gospel is during this period of time, during the Triodion, because we are paralytics. And if you look at the Triodion texts, especially the canons, throughout the week, they are about our paralysis, about our sin, about our need to repent. You need to learn to feel that there's a lot wrong with you. The world doesn't want you to do that because they think that they're afraid of that. And they label that as being having bad self-esteem. But it's not about having bad self-esteem. It's about having the proper understanding of ourselves. So we are like the paralytic. Now, this paralytic was brought by four people. And we are in a period when we should be thinking more of almsgiving. And this is a perfect example of true almsgiving. They love this man, their friend. They took care of him. They went above and beyond what almost anybody else would have done for him. And the Lord said to them and to the paralytic, seeing their faith. Excuse me, he didn't say that, but he said, but the Lord seeing their faith, it is said in the gospel. What was their faith? Well, that he would heal. But if they believed he would heal and they stayed in their room while the Lord was in another house, it wouldn't have happened. They acted on their belief. This is what faith is. I don't know how in the world the majority of Christians believe that faith is just a belief and that we can be saved by believing and not by doing because of what we believe. The Lord saves us because he's merciful. We deserve nothing. That's absolutely true. But when the Lord gives to us, we must react with gratitude. We must react with activity. It makes no sense otherwise. And so these men, they believed that the Lord would help, and they acted upon their belief. Brothers and sisters, there's people all around you that need help. And I would challenge you to pray and to act in physical ways for them as well. Look at your life. How much do you pray? That's the first bearing of the palate of the paralytic. First, pray. How much do you pray? Do you pray for people 1 minute a day? Do you just say, Lord of mercy, on somebody and out the door? It should not be like this. You should see people's needs. Even in our small community, you should see people's needs. And there should be days that you feel touched by a certain person in some way. Just for some reason, you just feel their need. And you pray for them. I've always recommended to you that you pray the Jesus Prayer. Because that's simple and easy to do. You can do it anywhere. And you don't have to make up anything. So glad that I'm no longer a Protestant where we always had to make up prayers. I hated that because they were more a show than they were a prayer. You just pray from your heart. Now, if you particularly feel that a person has a particular need and you want to pray from your heart about that need, that's absolutely fine. But if you have a lot of people that you care about, like I do, it's mentally exhausting to come up with a particular need for every person. Instead, I just pray the Jesus Prayer for each one of you in this room. And so you should too. It's very simple. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon Procopius. That's it. And if you really want to, have a chotki, have a prayer rope, and pray multiple times for that person, for your sons and daughters, for your wives and husbands, for people that you feel are in specific need. We just had one in our church undergo serious surgery. You should ask yourself, how much did you pray for him during his surgery? If you haven't, then you should think, I made a big mistake. So correct it the next time. Be those people that are bearing the paralytic. We must bear one another's burdens. And so look for people. You won't have to look very far or very hard. They're all over. That have needs. And pray for them. I've offered to you before to give the diptychs, the lists of all the people that come to this parish, whether they come all the time or they come occasionally. It's a pretty long list. That offer is still standing. You can ask me. I have a list that's, you know, got all kinds of address information or other stuff. I would make that all out, you know, take that all out and just have the names. Happy to send it. I think I've given it to two people. So, be the one who bears the paralytic. Be one of those four pallet bearers. Because you got to have somebody bear your pallet too, you know. And it's kind of arrogant to ask the Lord to help us when we're not willing to help his servants. So let us look at the two things that we should know from this reading, the main things. Or I should say, three things. Maybe I'll change my mind and say four in a moment. We'll see. First of all, faith is action based on belief. If you're not acting on your faith, then your faith is weak, or perhaps it is not faith. And we see that action in the friends of the paralytic. Also, sin causes illness. Not every time, but often. And certainly anxiety and worries, irritations, that's all caused by our sins. It's not caused by the guy who cuts you off in traffic. It's caused by you, who are full of passions. And then we also see that we must take care of God's creatures. We must be one of those who bear the pallet. So look in your life and see what sins are causing your problems. And are you acting with faith? Are you saying you believe and doing very little about it? And do you care for the brethren? Do you pray for the brethren? And do you care for them in other ways too? That's what this reading is teaching today. May we hear its teaching. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.